Why is today special? James chapter number 4, verse number 13. James chapter number 4, verse number 13. I love the King James Bible. I do. I don't only love it because I believe with all of my heart it is the preserved words of God for the English language. But I love the wording. People say, well, these other versions are easier to understand. Folks, here's a suggestion. Let's stop dumbing down and let's smarten up. The Bible says, study to show thyself approved unto God. The Bible was never intended to be a kindergarten primer. It was to be a book that's to be studied, to challenge us spiritually, mentally, intellectually, in all levels. Challenge us. Look at the first three words. James 4, verse 13. Look at the first three words. Underline them. What an important concept. Go to where? You know, that so many times I want to go see somebody that's struggling. I want to say, go to now. I want to see somebody that's worried, and I want to say, go to now. I want to see somebody that's bound up over some incident in the past, and I want to say, go to now. Go to now. Go to now. Verse 13, go to now, ye that say, today or tomorrow, we will go into such a city and continue there a year and buy and sell and get gain. Whereas you know not what shall be on the morrow. For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. For that you ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live and do that, this or that. But now you rejoice in your boastings. All such rejoicing is, what's the next word? Evil. Think about that. Wow. Evil. Therefore, to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. We're going to preach on this subject. Why is today special? Why is today special? Dear Heavenly Father, I pray that you would bless us, Lord. I sense your presence here this morning, Lord. I feel that you're here. Now we know, based on what the Bible tells us, that you're here because you've promised your presence. Even where it's just two or three that might be gathered in your name. Lord, we have a whole lot more than that here, and I think we're gathered for that reason. Lord, you're the central reason, the central theme of the day. Lord, we want to lift you up. I pray, God, that you challenge the hearts of each and every one of us here, Lord. Hit some reset buttons in our life, Lord. Help us to get focused on what we ought to be focused, put behind us what we ought to put behind us. Put in your hands what we might be worried about that's before us, and go to now. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Say, Brother Jerry, why is today special? I'm racking my brain, May 18th, 2008. Those of you that are history buffs, I'm trying to figure out what happened in American history. For those of you that know me personally, I'm trying to think, Brother Jerry, what might have happened in your life. Folks, today is special because every today is a special day. Every today is a special day. You see, folks, this is the only time in all of our lives that we'll have an opportunity to live out May 18th, 2008. Say, Brother Jerry, we had a big day last Sunday. No. We didn't just have a big day last Sunday. We're having a big day this Sunday. You see, I think every Sunday when I wake up, I decide that that's going to be a big day. Let me give you another thought. Tomorrow I'll wake up and I'll say, hey, it's Monday and this is going to be a big day. Tuesday I'm going to wake up, if I wake up, and if the Lord will, and I'm going to say, you know what, today's going to be a big day. A Wednesday, I pray to God you'd wake up if God gives you that opportunity and say, today is going to be a big day. Folks, I think that we're all guilty, if we're not careful, of just wasting away the days of our life. And I believe God's brought me to the pulpit today to speak to both saint and sinner alike and to tell you how important today is. Today is special. Today is important. Let me just go through this portion of Scripture and preach through it. Say, Brother Jerry, convince me. Give me some reasons. I don't feel like today is very special. Number one, today is special because of the uncertainty of tomorrow. Because of the uncertainty of tomorrow. That's why it says in verse 13, go to now, ye that say, today or tomorrow we will go into such a city and continue there a year and buy and sell and get gain. Whereas ye know not what shall be on the morrow. You know what that verse is teaching us? It's that teaching us this great truth, that tomorrow is uncertain. We don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. We don't even know if we're going to have a tomorrow. And so today is special because of the uncertainty of tomorrow. Now, in the next few minutes, you're going to accuse me of being morbid. But I promise you, I will just spend a few minutes of this message depressing you. And then after that, I pray to encourage you. Amen. I was looking up of all of the crazy things to be doing on a Sunday morning. I got on the internet and looked up the death statistics in the United States of America. Now, if you ever want to just really cheer yourself up, look up the leading causes of death in the United States. The latest statistics that we have on record involve the year 2005. In 2005, the total number of deaths in 2005 were 2 million. That's just in America, 2,448,017. Now, there's about 300 million people, so I'm not trying to make anybody worry, amen. But let me just say this, folks, a lot of people that rung in the new year on January 1st, 2005, believed that day, and many of them assumed, was even presumptuous in assuming that they would also be here to ring in the new year January 1st, 2006. If we're not careful, we're the same way as Christians. And we have a Bible and we know better than that. We know of the uncertainty of tomorrow. You say, well, Brother Jerry, what do I have to worry about? What are the things that's killing people? You don't even want me to go down through the list. I couldn't, 113 different categories of ways to die. Boy, that's exciting. You know, it's much better to get up and read your Bible or read something encouraging than it is to spend Sunday morning reading the death statistics in the United States of America. Most people that will die because, you know what, this body just simply does not live forever. And in some way, they'll have an illness, a sickness, a disease, something. That is the majority of the deaths. But you know what, folks? Let me just give you this. They had a separate list of leading causes of accidental deaths in the United States. You say, well, Jerry, I'm in good health. Don't be presumptuous. Don't be presumptuous. I think I'm in good health. I think I take care of myself. I don't think that I have to worry about my body giving out any day soon. Let me give you some statistics. Do you realize in 2005, and I imagine the statistics will be pretty close to the same numbers. There'll be some increase, decrease, but in 2005, there was 43,354 Americans during the year of 2005 that got into an automobile, got into a car, got into a truck, got into some kind of vehicle and thought that they were just going to town or just going on vacation or just going to see grandma or just going to Walmart. And you know what? They had no idea when they got out of that car or got into that car that was the last trip they'd ever take. Are you listening to me? What I'm trying to do is to get you to appreciate today. I'm not here to scare you. I'm not here to cause you unnecessary grief. I'm not here to cause you to become worrisome. Some of you don't need any of my help to become like that. But I'm not here to do that. I don't live worried about these things, but I do want to have enough Bible and scriptural outlook on life to realize that tomorrow's uncertain. There were many other what they called non-transport accidents. 17,434. You realize, get this is crazy. I had no idea. 13,322 Americans were killed because of falls. F-A-L-L-S, falls. in 2005, poisoning, drowning, exposure to smoke, fire, flames, other land transport accidents, complications of medical and surgical care. Do you realize how many Americans went in for what they would think would have been a very simple procedure, and that was the last time that they checked into a hospital? What are you saying, Brother Jerry? I'm saying you better understand it's a Bible fact that tomorrow is uncertain. Tomorrow is uncertain. That's the truth that ought to stir the hearts of someone who's without Jesus Christ as their Savior, but it also ought to stir the hearts of those of us that are saved. So number one, today is special. You know why? Because we have it. Every day is a gift from God. We have it. We have today. We have that opportunity. Now, number one, today is special because of the uncertainty of tomorrow. Number two, today is special because of the brevity of life. Now, notice next what the Bible teaches us in verse 14. Whereas you know not what shall be on the morrow, for what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. Vanisheth away. Now, you say, Brother Jerry, let's take out the idea that I'm going to die of some disease or some accident. Let's just suppose that maybe God will grant me that 70, or even if he's good to me, maybe some more. If you live to be 80, you will get to your 80th birthday and you'll look back and say, what happened? That was short. There's a lot of silverhead saints that's shaking their head. Yes, there's a lot of young people that are looking at me like they're not sure that they believe it. But I promise you that it's true. My brother Bob shocked me Friday night during the graduation. He came and said, do you realize that this year I'm celebrating 30 years having graduated from high school 30 years ago this month? And I thought, he's miscalculated that. There's got to be some error here. That can't possibly... And I'm thinking, 1978, I'm doing, you know, the... Oh, my goodness sakes. Man, he's old. What's more discouraging is that next year, I'm going to celebrate 30 years of being out of high school. I promise you, this is true. So the sun will set and the sun will rise. Time will tick by. We'll blink, and these young people that were just standing right here will have graduated 10 years ago. These young people who are just standing right here will have graduated 20 years ago. They'll say, where did the time go? You know, folks, life is, amen, senior saints, a vapor that appeareth for a short time and vanisheth away. And that's why you better, listen, each and every one of us, we need to have an old-fashioned revival of appreciation of every single day that God gives us. Now, listen to me, folks. You go ahead and waste a day if you want to waste it being bitter at somebody. You go ahead and waste a day if you want to, romping and stomping and being mad over some silly, petty thing that don't amount to a hill of beans. You go ahead and get fixated on the negative and just waste day after day after day, but I'm telling you, life's brief. And I think we, as Christians especially, ought to cash in on every single day of life. Me and my wife just a few days ago, no, it was years, but it seems like a few days ago, we took our little girls and we put them in a car. I was preaching a youth conference out in Pennsylvania, and we drove out to Pennsylvania, and the preacher was kind enough. I preached every morning, and I preached every evening, and every afternoon. He said, please bring your wife, bring your girls. There's plenty to see out here. Every single afternoon, I want you to go do something that you want to do with your family. What a blessing that was. We went downtown to Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. We wanted to see the Liberty Bell, and I tried to keep the girls away from it. I figured one crack was enough. And so I didn't let them get too close to it. And then we wanted to go over and see the Mint. How many here has ever seen the Liberty Bell? Seen the Liberty Bell? How many has ever gone to the Mint down there in Philadelphia? Yes, amen. They frisk you when you go in, frisk you when you go out, amen. And wanted to see the Mint and how the money was made. Now, the only problem is parking in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. That was a challenge, finding a place to park. So I finally did, and of course, this is not something we deal with in Jacksonville, Indiana. I don't, do they have parking meters in Linton? Do they have the coin opera? We do not deal with them in Linton. I think Bloomfield around the square has them, because Bloomfield's always trying to rip off us from this side of the county that are trying to live honorable and noble lives. Amen. But we had a meter there. And I thought to myself, wow, I think we could feed it and it would only go up to like an hour or maybe 2 hours. I can't remember. But there was a limit. So I fed it till I maxed it out. Then I set my watch and I said, I've got to make sure, because we were going to be away from the car longer than that. I said, Cheryl, let's go see the Liberty Bell. Let's go see Independence Hall. And then before we go to the Mint, I'll run back. And I'm talking about 7 or 8 blocks from these things. I have to run back here and feed this thing. When we parked the car, I looked over and there's one of those meter maid ladies. And you could see she was just salivating. She saw my out of town license plate. She thought, I'll get this guy, you know. I mean, at least that's what I presumed she was doing when she was looking at me. And so I filled it up and shook it and checked it, set my watch, and we went and seen the Independence Hall. We went and seen the Liberty Bell, and the time had about expired. As a matter of fact, I let it go a little too long as far as I was cutting it close. And I thought, you know what, I know that meter maid is standing right by my car. I know she's sitting there. She probably already has all the paperwork out. She's waiting for that thing to click so she can sign it. And so I ended up having to walk, and I realized, man, it's going to be gone. It's going to be out. So I ended up running about 4 blocks down Pennsylvania, in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, to go back to my parking meter. I raced up to it. I looked over. The lady's still over there. And I kind of stuck my tongue out at her a little bit and sat there and fed those coins. I didn't stick my tongue at her, but I fed the coins, and I looked over, and, you know, if you're a Ross, you're a smart aleck. I'll just tell you, if you're a Ross, you're a smart aleck. So what I do is I feed them, and then I wave at her, and then I saunter back to the place to take the next hour and a half or whatever time I had marked. When I came back, and again, I set my watch. We went through the Mint, came back, and I walked over to the car, and underneath the windshield wiper, there's a ticket. And I said, that dirty rat. There's no way. There is no way. I went over to the parking meter that I put the coins in, and I looked, and we still had about 6 or 7 minutes left on it. And then I realized that I'd put money in the wrong parking meter. And so on this parking ticket, by this lady's signature, is a smiley face. A little smiley face that the meter maid wrote on my parking ticket. I think, I don't know what her last name was, but I promise you, everybody in her family is a smart aleck too. And I walked back to my parking meter that I should have put the money in, and you know what it said? It said expired. It said expired. Now, folks, let me just tell you this. From the day that God sparked life in your mother's womb, God set a time. The Bible says it's appointed unto man once to die. You say, well, Brother Jerry, how come he, I don't know, I'm not God. How come some people, I don't know, I'm not God. How come this little girl over here at Shack, I don't know, I'm not God. All I know is God sets an appointment. But guess what? There's no place to put any coins. The richest man in the world, the billionaires, over 700 now, billionaires in the world, over 700 billionaires in the world, all of their billions cannot put one more second on the meter. When it clicks expired, it's expired. Now, I guess what I'm trying to tell you is this. Folks, whether that is a few years, whether it's 20 years, whether it's 50 years, whether it's 70 or 80 or 100 years, when you get towards the end, you're still going to say the same thing. Boy, that was quick. What happened? How did I get here so quickly? So, Why is today special, preacher? Because life's brief and God gave you a gift this morning when the sun came up. And you ought to take, and I ought to take every single day of our lives, and I ought to embrace it, and I ought to love it, and I ought to squeeze it, and I ought to appreciate it, and I ought not to waste one minute of it doing anything that would displease God, doing anything that would bring harm or grief to another individual. Let's live each day as if it's precious. That's why today's special. Let me give you another reason. Today is special because we have the opportunity today to live in the will of God. Today is special because we have the opportunity today to live in the will of God. Now that's what it says in verse number 15. That's what the Bible's teaching us here. It says, verse number 15, "For that ye ought to say." Now this is in comparison to what we find in verse number 13, where it says, "Go to now, ye that say." So what do they say in verse 13? That is faulty, that is an error, that's being pointed out to us as a wrong way of thinking. Today or tomorrow we will go into such a city and continue there a day and buy and sell and get and gain. You say, "Brother Jerry, what's wrong with that kind of thinking?" Let me ask you a question. In that verse, where is God? Where is God? I see no mention of His name. I see no concern about what He wants or what He wills or what He would have us to do. I see a selfish, presumptuous person that's making a proclamation not only about today, but about tomorrow and about the years ahead. I see a man who's saying, "You know what? I'm not considering God. I'm not considering His will. I'm not considering His sovereignty. I'm not considering that He set a timetable. I'm saying that I'm going to do these things today and these things tomorrow, and next year I'll be doing these things." And folks, the honest truth is, me and you won't take the next breath if God doesn't allow us to take it. And God looks at that kind of life and that kind of living, and it angers God. God takes a look at that kind of life and that kind of living, and He calls it evil. Because it says in verse 15, "For that ye ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this or that. But now ye rejoice in your boastings. All such rejoicing is evil." Say, "Brother Jay, who is an evil man in our community? Who is an evil man in our society?" Oh, it must be the pedophile. It must be the drug dealer. It must be the sodomite. Let me tell you what God said. The evil men and the evil women and the evil young people in this community are the ones that wake up every day and they don't think about God. They don't consider that He has a will for their life. They don't consider their Creator. They don't look at themselves as a creator. They don't take any thought about what God would have them do that day. Do you realize all over, folks, Green and Sullivan and Clay County, this tri-county area that we reach into, there are hundreds and thousands of people that woke up on the Lord's Day, on the Lord's Day, and gave no thought to God, gave no thought to what the Bible says, where they ought to be and what they ought to be doing on this day. They simply got up and shook themselves and said in a boastful manner, "I'm going to do this today. And tomorrow, by the way, I'm going to do this. And a month later, I'm going to do this. And a year later, I'm going to be doing this." And God looks down from heaven and says, "Such rejoicing is evil." It's an evil way to think. I believe that the evil man is a man that lives day after day with no consideration of the will of God. I believe it. By the way, I'm talking not just the people that aren't in church. I'm talking about people that are in this church. Say, "Well, Brother Jerry, I woke up on the Lord's Day and I came to church. I'm so glad." But you know what? God doesn't just have a will for you on Sunday. He has a will for you on Monday. And He has a will for you on Tuesday. He has a will for you on Wednesday. And so many times we say, "All right, I'll give the Lord His day." Let me explain something to you. Every day is the Lord's day. Every day God wants you to do something. Every day God's got something prepared for you to accomplish. Somebody that you can influence. Somebody whose life you can touch. Somebody that you can share the gospel with. Every day God has opportunities. I said this earlier. I was talking to our seniors, but I promise you that I think the biggest mistake And I see this in counseling sessions. I see this in senior appointments. I see this when I deal with young people. Brother Jerry, I just want to find the will of God. I don't want to miss the will of God. As if it's some one great thing that's way out there. No, the will of God is today. The will of God is what God wants you to do today. God has a will for your life. And to live your life presumptuously is an evil thing, a wicked thing. Oh, I wish I could somehow get across to you the importance of the will of God. God did not give me or you our lives to live as we please. God created us for reasons. God created us to do things and accomplish things for His kingdom. God created us to live our lives in such a way to bring honor and glory to His name. Yet so many people who claim the name of Christ and want to look at me and tell me that they're saved. The honest truth is they prostitute every single day. They misuse it. They pervert it to their own desires and their own whims. They live every day not one time considering that God gave me this day, and God wants me to do some things this day, and God has a will for me this day. And listen, I'm not saying that you don't have to do some things. I know we have to work. I know there's things we have to accomplish. I know that there's jobs we have to do. I know that we have places we have to attend. But folks, in the interacting with other people every single day of our life, there's opportunities that God will put in our way to impact others for Jesus Christ. What's the Bible say about the will of God? Let me just give you some verses. Mark 3:35. Jesus said this. What an astounding, astounding statement. Mark 3:35. Jesus said, "For whosoever shall do the will of God, the same as my brother and my sister and my mother." God holds a special place in His heart for those that will live their lives doing the will of God. In Acts 13:36, it says, "For David, after he had served his own generation, by the will of God, fell on sleep and was laid into his fathers and saw corruption." You know what? David, at the end of his life, didn't have to look back and say, "I missed the will of God." He served his own generation by the will of God. Every young person, get this, I hope you listen to this. Every young person that finds and fulfills daily the will of God serves your generation. And every young person that denies God the opportunity to show you His will and will not complete the will of God, you are a traitor to your own generation. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 1, Paul was able to say this. Paul, called to be an apostle of Jesus Christ through the will of God. Brother Paul said, "I found it. I found the will of God, and I'm doing it." 2 Corinthians 1:1, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God. He opens almost every letter with this statement. "Hey, guess what? I found it, and I'm doing it every day of my life." 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 3, I love this. "For this is the will of God." Brother Jerry, I don't understand what the will of God is. "This is the will of God, even your sanctification, that you should abstain from fornication." You know, a pure lifestyle is the will of God. Being moral is the will of God. Being pure young people is the will of God. Walking away and not looking at those billboards, avoiding those magazine aisles, keeping your heart and mind focused on Christ, not becoming perverted in your thoughts, that's the will of God. 1 Thessalonians 5:18, "In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God." Brother, I don't know what the will of God is. The will of God is to say thank you. Boy, isn't the will of God complicated? The will of God is to go home and when you sit down at the meal, look over at your mom and say thank you. And look over at your dad who worked and sweated and labored all week long, put that food and say thank you. Then the whole family get a hold of each other's hands and bow their heads and say to God, thank you. You know what the will of God is? The will of God is for us to be thankful. The will of God is to say thank you, not to mumble and grumble and whine and complain about what we don't have. Be thankful for what we do. That's the will of God. Every day I've got an opportunity to either do the will of God or serve my own sick carnal flesh. Every day of my life I've got an opportunity to either think as God would will me to think or focus on my own selfishness. And everybody in here has got to make a decision. Folks, listen to me. I don't know what kind of life you're living, but I like the kind of life I live. And the kind of life I live is one that every day is special and every day is big and God has something every day. And listen, sometimes I think I know what it is and it's not. Sometimes I think I know what it is and it is. All I know is this. I want to stay open to the Holy Spirit's leading. I want God to guide me. I want to be aware that every day there's an opportunity to help somebody and be a blessing to somebody and maybe share the gospel with somebody. Listen, I like living in the will of God. Amen. 1 John chapter 2, verse 17 says, "For the world passeth away in the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever." So, Jerry, what's the will of God for me? Well, if you're here today without Jesus Christ as your Savior, the will of God is that you be saved. The Bible says God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. If you're lost, I can tell you what the will of God is. The will of God is for you at the conclusion of this service, or by the way, right now would be just fine, for you to stand up, get to the nearest aisle, come up here. I'm lost. I want to be saved, preacher. Give somebody to take me to show me the Bible so I know how to do this thing. That is God's will for you. That's the reason God created you, to save you. Person that refuses to be saved refuses to do the will of God. What's the will of God for me, Brother Jerry? I'm already saved. The will of God is for you to find and accomplish each and every day what He has for you to do. Don't miss the little opportunities. Life is short, folks. Life is brief. Job in Job 14:1 said this about our days here on earth. There are few, and they're like a flower. 2 Samuel 14:14, like water spilt on the ground. Psalm 103, verse 15 and 16, like grass leaving no memory. 1 Chronicles 29:17, like a shadow that will not stay. James 4:14, like a mist or a vapor from a pot. Job chapter 7, verse 6 through 7, like a weaver's shuttle or like the wind. Psalm 78:39, like the wind. I like Psalm 90, verse 9, talks about life being like a sigh. Have you ever at the end of the day just kind of give out a long sigh? Whatever that length is right there, God says, when I look down from heaven, that's how long your life is. Job 9, verse 25 and 26, like a swift messenger, like a swift ship, like a swooping eagle. You know what? There goes the messenger. They ran past. I saw him, and then he disappeared. There's a ship, a swift ship. I see it on the river, and then it's gone. Wait a minute. There's a swooping eagle. Did you see it? Where? There it is. And then it disappears behind the tree, and that is life. That is life. That's why every day is a special day. That's why today's special, folks. Why is May 18, 2008 special, preacher? Because of the uncertainty of tomorrow, because of the brevity of life, because today I have an opportunity to do the will of God. And I want to spend every day of my life in righteousness. I don't want to be guilty of the wickedness of presumption. Listen, if God has laid upon your heart to do something, do it for His honor. Do it for His glory today. Let me give you one more thought. Today is a special day because of the opportunity it presents. What kind of opportunity? Well, I've already mentioned some of these, but let me just go over them. Number one, if you're here today and you're alive and breathing, you have the opportunity to be saved if you're lost. You realize last Sunday, 27 people that attended Blessed Oak Baptist Church had a day, an opportunity, heard the gospel, and said, I'm taking God up on that. I'm taking God up on that. Folks, listen to me. You're never going to find a better deal in your life than salvation. Brother Jerry, what's it going to cost me? It cost me. It's going to cost you nothing. What did it cost God? It cost Him everything. And you know what? God says, listen, I sent my Son to die on the cross so that I could purchase for you a free gift that I now offer you. And God will come to people day after day, many different times in their life. You'll see that divine appointment, that Holy Spirit crossroad decision where God comes along and gives you the opportunity to be saved, gives you an opportunity to hear the gospel. And we watch people waste those days and neglect those days. The Bible says today is the day of salvation. Now is the accepted time. Acts chapter 24, I won't have you turn there, but the Apostle Paul, while he was under arrest for witnessing and for preaching, had an opportunity to witness to a politician There's some politicians I'd like to have an opportunity to witness to. Amen. And the Bible says in verse 25, "And as Paul reasoned of righteousness, temperance, and judgment to come, Governor Felix trembled and answered, 'Go thy way for this time. When I have a convenient season, I will call for thee.'" You know what he said? He said, "I know that I need to be saved. I understand the gospel, but not today." There's no record in this Bible of Felix ever getting saved. If you're not saved, you know what is great about today? You know why today is so special? Because you have the opportunity to be saved. You're here, you're breathing, you're living, you're still on earth. You're not in hell crying for a drink of water. You're not in hell begging for mercy. You're not in hell begging for one more chance. You're alive, you're okay. You have the sensibility to understand the gospel. You've got the physical presence. If you want to walk down an aisle, you have an opportunity to be saved today. Don't pass it up! Don't pass it up. Today's special because you have the opportunity to be saved. Today's special because you have the opportunity, or maybe you'll have the opportunity to win someone to Christ. Folks, listen to me. One of the greatest opportunities we have, and part of the divine will of God for every Christian, is to every single day be sensitive to the Holy Spirit's leading. Be aware of opportunities that come and go to share the gospel with people around us. Folks, I wish I could energize you to that means. Went through the drive-thru through McDonald's the other day. I carry gospel tracts in my Jeep. I have an opportunity to either hand the lady her money and take the change and drive on, or I've got an opportunity to put in her hand. And what she does with it's up to her from that point on. I can't back up traffic. I can't tie up her time. She's on the clock. But I have an opportunity to put in her hand information that will make it possible for her to understand the gospel and believe it and be saved. And you know what? In this room, I promise you this is true. This is no exaggeration. The people in this room, just in this room, in the next 24 hours, will have thousands, I'm not exaggerating, thousands of those kinds of opportunities. One of these days, we're going to stand before God and He's going to say, "I gave you that day, and I gave you that day, and I gave you that day, and I gave..." You know what an accounting means? An accounting means that we go line upon line. I hear Christian braggarts. I've heard men in the pulpit talk about how they can't wait to stand before God. I don't know how you feel, but I fear and tremble. Not because I'm fearful of going to hell. I know that that's been taken care of. But I look back at my life and I think of the percentage of the days that God gave me. How many of them were really lived in the fullness of the Spirit? How many of them were really lived taking advantage of the opportunity, sensitive to what God was trying to do? Folks, listen to me. You know what? Let's not waste today regretting that. Let's take today and make this day one of those days. And tomorrow one of those days. And the next day one of those days. What an opportunity we have. An opportunity to win someone to Christ. Number three, we have an opportunity to have a positive impact on somebody's life. Now, Christians, let me just say this and we're done. Every single day, God gives you an opportunity to be a blessing to somebody else. I preach against this. I think it's one of the foulest, most anti-Christ way of living in all the world. And that's the life of a selfish Christian. I'm not going to quit preaching on it. I'm not going to quit saying it from this pulpit. We could have revival if we would die to self. We could have revival at Blessed Hope Baptist Church if everybody would die to self. Now, you've got to choose the way you're going to live. But all I know is this. There's a lot of people around me every single day that I'm in contact with, both saved and lost, that I can be a blessing to. I can be a blessing by helping to share the gospel to those that are lost. I can be a blessing by being a help to my neighbor right down the road when God sees and gives me that opportunity. I can be a blessing here at Blessed Hope Baptist Church. Folks, let me just help you with something. You know how to make this kind of church that you want to come to be the kind of person that everyone else would like to meet in church? Amen. I see these floating families, Brother Paul. These floating families looking for the perfect church. These floating families looking around trying to find some place where everybody's going to be what they ought to be and doing what they ought to do. And can I share something with you? Find you a church, join it, and you be that person to somebody else. Honestly. From the time you got out of the parking lot, listen to me, from the time you got out of the parking lot to right now, you've either been a blessing to somebody or you've missed opportunities. You've either been a blessing to people around you or you've just missed the opportunities. Because look around. I mean, in a few minutes we're going to dismiss. And if you're not quick on your feet, you can be trampled to death. There's plenty of people here. Find somebody. Find one of these young people. Find one of these kids on the front row. Hey, don't make a mad dash for the car. Take a few minutes and be a blessing to somebody. One word. One word of encouragement. One, I'm praying for you. One, how's things going? Hey, how about this, regular members of Blessed Hope Baptist Church? Look around at somebody whose name you don't know and go over and say, you know what, up to this time, I'm sorry, I just never have properly introduced myself and I want to get to know you and I want you to know that I'm glad you're here. By the way, what's your name? And this is my name. That's the opportunities of each and every day. And so why is today special? Today's special the same reason if God gives it to us, tomorrow will be special. And the same reason that if God gives it to us, Tuesday will be special. And it's a great way to live your life. I mean, wake up every morning and say, you know what, I don't have the certainty of tomorrow, but I have today. And you know what, life is going to be brief, but thank God it's at least handed to us one day at a time. And you know what? Today I have the opportunity to do the will of God, and today I have the opportunity to have an impact on people around me and be a blessing, and maybe win someone to Christ. Take every single day of your life and live it in such a way so that when you stand at the judgment seat one day, you know what? You won't have to look at God and say, you know what? I did everything in the world but your will. I did everything in the world but what you created me to do. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. We're going to have a word of prayer in just a moment. The most important thing that you can do today, if you're not saved, is to receive Jesus Christ as your Savior. I've got great news for you. God loves you. He loves you. He's put you today in a place where people love you and they're praying for you, where a preacher loves you. Let me just encourage your heart here. Brother Jerry, when you were preaching, something was going on inside of my heart. I don't even understand it, but I've never felt this way before. Let me just tell you what that is. That's God. That is the Spirit of God stirring something in your heart. That's your Creator communicating with His creation. Brother Jerry, if I died right now, I don't know what would happen to me. All I know is God's doing something in my life. God's doing something in my heart. I'm concerned about it. Before now, I haven't been that concerned about it. All of a sudden, it seems awful important. That's the Holy Spirit pressing upon you the importance of salvation. Today's the day. If you're here without Jesus Christ as your Savior, please don't leave this building without being saved. In just a minute, we're going to sing a song of invitation. When we begin to sing, I'm going to ask that you step out, come to the front. Listen, we want to help you if you're not saved. We want to take the Bible and show you how to be saved. How many say this? Brother Jerry, you were preaching today and God spoke to my heart. Now the truth is, if I was to die right now, I'm not sure what would happen, but I'm concerned about it. Would you pray for me? And by the way, I'm not going to come get you or call your name. I'm not going to embarrass you, but I want to pray for you. Raise your hand. I'm not saved. Raise your hand. I'm not saved, but I'm concerned about it. Raise your hand. I'm not saved, but I'm concerned about it, preacher. Would you please pray for me? I'd be glad to pray for you. Just flip your hand up real quickly and put it back down. I want to pray for if you're not saved. Christians, did God do something in your life today? Did God do something in your heart today? If we were to have to just take a quick trip to heaven and give an accounting in front of God for the past 7 days, did we live those days in the will of God? Did we do the things that God would have us to do? Were we a witness as we ought to be? Did we accomplish the things we should have accomplished? Are we just floating through life, forgetting that it's a vapor? Preacher, God spoke to my heart in a special way during that message. Slip your hand up. I'm saved, but God spoke to my heart in a special way during that message. God bless you. Heavenly Father, I pray, Lord, that we'd be a people that's aware of the clicking, the ticking of the clock. I pray, God, we'd be a people that's aware of our own mortality. Not so that we can worry and fret, but so that we will redeem the time, knowing that the days are evil. Give us, Lord, if it's your will, today, and help us to live it without regret. Help us to live it doing the things, Lord, that you would do if you were in our place, living our life. And tomorrow, if it is your will, and you give us another day, help us, Lord, to redeem it and to live it in such a way, just like you would if you were living our life, and do the things that you would do if you were us. Help us to live that way from this day forward, to the best of our ability. In Jesus' name I pray.